Hi everyone, welcome back to the TAFL Training Institute podcast. I'm Ross Thorburn, and this week, once again, we have Matt Courtois.
Hey, long time no see.
Yeah, it's been well like a day.
Yeah, it's been a couple of days, right?
So, last time, Matt, you and I talked about the sort of effects of the coronavirus and teaching online to the sort of things that teachers can do in class with students. But today I thought it'd be interesting for us to talk about the effect that teaching online and teachers really just not being in the same physical space as either their managers or their trainers or their peers is having on teacher development.
I think this whole teaching online thing, right? Like it's so lonely. Before all this happened, you're in your teacher's office with 10 colleagues or you're bouncing ideas about and you're here you're sitting in possibly an empty apartment. Like, what a lonely experience, you know?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes before, when I at least worked in a school, sometimes you'd have a thing of a teacher would come in on the break and just be like, oh my God, that was a disaster. And you would have the chance to go like, oh, what's up? Can I help? What was the issue here? But as soon as you're online, those sort of like interactions in the staff room or by the water cooler, those don't happen anymore. So I think it's kind of made the importance of sort of formal teacher education stuff even more important than it was before.
I think a lot of the feedback you get from your peers doesn't necessarily happen in a formal avenue. Right? A lot of times you're just sitting there talking about your lesson.
I think it's kind of like what we were talking about last time with teaching, in that online's not necessarily better or worse. It's just different. And there's some advantages to doing teacher education online, but taking the offline stuff and putting it online, it's not going to work. You kind of have to think of some other potential advantages of online that maybe don't exist offline and try and take advantage of those.
There are some things that you can do that are just kind of completely different from face-to-face feedback or coaching or training that online can be a lot more effective.
I guess one obvious place is that if you are teaching online, it's highly likely that every lesson you teach is going to be recorded, right? So I think there are huge opportunities for doing self-observation and peer observation that in face-to-face settings are really kind of difficult to set up.
Again, in a previous company that we worked at together that had face-to-face lessons, I think it's something we encourage lots of teachers to do. Video your lesson, and then afterwards you can watch it. But I really think over the 2 or 3 years that I was advocating this idea, I don't think a single teacher actually did it.
Yeah, even doing the thing of peer observation. So I might want to observe you teaching such and such a class, but when you're teaching that class, I also have a class, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really, really difficult to ever actually make that work. But obviously all of these problems just kind of disappear immediately, right? As soon as we start talking about online teaching where everything's recorded, I think.
I think one of the best things you can do is watch yourself teaching. And I know the way I am, if I have that video there and it's already done, I'm going to watch myself teaching. And I know as somebody giving feedback, you do want to be specific because it is so helpful, right? But if you as the observer think something didn't go well, you can refer them back to minute 5, 12 seconds, right? And say, watch this and watch how you interact with this student or that student.
Or let's watch it together. There's no more of this, oh, I didn't think this went very well. Well, actually, I thought it went fine. I think it's so powerful to be able to say, like, which part of the lesson do you want to talk about? This part. Okay, let's move the video forward to that part and we can watch it together and we can talk about it.
You know?
Yeah. So I guess the videos could be used, I guess, in at least one of three ways that immediately spring to mind. So one is that as a teacher, you could proactively go and watch this yourself and reflect on it or transcribe bits of it or whatever. Another potential use is that you could make a video available to your peers to watch, for example. Or another bit is that your supervisor or trainer or whatever could come and watch you teach. Having things online, there's a real issue around privacy and access that I think is going to be really interesting. For example, at the moment, if we were in a school together and you're the manager and I'm the teacher and you want to come and observe me teach, you could just barge into the classroom and watch me if you really wanted to. And I might be upset about it, but I would know you were there. But as soon as it's online, there's all of a sudden this thing of like, well, maybe everything's probably being recorded by the school or at least by someone. And potentially you can observe anything that I've taught without me knowing about it. There's a flip side to this, though, of course, which does mean that when you're observing people, they're automatically going to be more nervous than they would be if there was no one in the room. The whole observer's paradox thing, right? I think often you'd find that a lot of the feedback I think I'd end up giving trainee teachers would be about teacher talk and talking too much. But I sometimes wondered, like, are these people just talking too much because they're nervous because I'm in the room? Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't here, they wouldn't be nervous. Therefore, I'm giving them feedback on this aspect of the teaching that really is not an issue for 99% of the time. It's only an issue when they're being observed. So I think there's this other advantage to this covert observation that as a teacher, you can be observed, and as a manager, you can observe teachers. And there's no longer this problem of people being nervous and changing their behavior because there's an observer in the room.
I think ideally, it's going to be a much less intimidating and less distracting experience for the teachers and the students by having this avenue for observations online. Your presence isn't going to be known at all by students and the teacher. Maybe it's less intimidating.
Yeah. I think at the moment, in terms of teacher observations, there's all sorts of different ways of doing it, right? You could have the manager just walks in completely unannounced. There, the sort of teacher has no control over when they're observed. You could have the manager tells the teacher in advance, I'm going to observe this class, and you know, you spend all this time preparing. You could have the manager gives the teacher some options, so the teacher kind of has a bit more ownership over when they're observed. Or the teacher even could say to the manager, I would like you to come and observe this class before I teach it. But of course, with online, I think it moves, it almost like adds an extra part on that graph, on that continuum. You're the manager. I could say, not that I would like you to observe this class that I will be teaching next Tuesday. I can say, I want you to observe this class yesterday that I had this problem with, and tell me, like, what should I have done in this situation, or what tips do you have? So it could give teachers more autonomy.
I know a lot of teachers who would want to impress their observer. And I think most teachers are going to choose one of their stronger lessons, which I actually think is a good thing. As an observer, I would like to see you at your best. Like you were talking about teacher talk earlier. I don't want to see some mistakes and coach you about something that doesn't really occur to you very often. I want to see you at your best and see if we can find some areas of that we can move forward a little bit. And the teacher coming to that decision about this is my best lesson, and they're showing that to you. Hopefully through that process, they watched that lesson and they're thinking about, there's a lot of really good reflection that's going to happen automatically by trying to show their manager their best lesson.
The potential there is for the teacher to choose something that they actually want the manager or the supervisor or trainer to see.
Odds are at this point, if teachers are choosing their best lessons, there's probably a lot of things that we can find in their online teaching to help push them forward a little bit. Who was your guest a couple weeks ago? I don't remember, but he was saying, like, mostly online lessons.
This was Russell Stannard. Yeah, absolutely. He was saying there were a lot of terrible online lessons, which is true. But I think the opposite of that could also be true, and that the other advantage of having everything filmed is to take this to peer observations for a moment. Like if we all, you know, you and me, and we've got five other people and we work in the same school, we could make our professional development something like, oh, let's, Matt, you can choose one of your classes this week or an activity that you did in the last week that you thought was particularly good and show it to everyone. Now, normally, if you do that, it's going to be you standing up in front of everyone and describing what you did. If it's you actually showing everyone, oh, here's a video of this activity I did, it worked really, really well, I think that's a lot more useful. So a lot more potential benefits for everyone else in the school.
I think especially now, like, talk about Bloom's taxonomy a little bit, right? Like, a lot of teachers with online teaching are at the very first stage. And so when they see something that works, they're going to try to replicate it.
Yeah.
They're not higher up on this taxonomy where they're trying to invent their own things. They're just trying to see what works and copy it. Showing these video examples is so useful for where they're at right now.
I think another interesting thing about this is that if you make a video of an offline lesson, you must have had this before, you video the class and afterwards you put the headphones on and you watch it and it's like, oh, I can't really hear what these students are saying. And, I wish the board work was clearer. So I feel like offline, the video, it's just not as good as actually being in the room. But online, of course, watching the video after the class is just as good as watching the class live, or even better, because you have like a 100% accurate representation of what actually happened there.
Yeah, you're seeing exactly what the student sees from their perspective when you're looking at a recording of an online lesson. Whereas offline, I don't know, whenever you have a mingle activity with 20 people talking at the same time, you don't feel the excitement of those people talking. You don't get to hear what they're saying. You just hear a bunch of noise. You know, and I feel the very nature of these online lessons, that you can observe the whole thing and what's happening with every single student at every single point, and exactly what the teacher's doing and how they're using their board exactly, and how it ties into everything together to get that overall, get an overall picture of this experience that students are having.
So I think that's a lot about the actual process of the observation. But I think also observing or having classes online and observing and giving feedback or having a discussion afterwards also opens the door to different ways of giving feedback, or at least discussing lessons that wouldn't really be possible offline. I think those conversations, when they do happen face-to-face, can often be very emotionally charged because the observer might feel the need to, they might be defensive. I think it's called hot cognition, when you're sort of still affected by the emotion of the event itself. But I think there's all this potential by doing an observation online of an online class that you then open up all these possibilities for it to be a much more sort of cold cognition, and for people to be more objective about that whole process.
I think online with email as well, a lot of your tone gets lost.
You've observed my class, like emailing me about it afterwards is probably not ideal. What are some of the ways of trainers and trainees or supervisors and teachers like actually talking about a lesson after it's happened?
Like, I know on Skype or Microsoft Teams or whatever messaging device, on a lot of these, there's a function to leave a video message. With video messages, you don't miss out on some of the body language and stuff that you would in an email. Your tone and maybe supportive nature as an observer can show up whenever you're sending a video message rather than an email. And the observee doesn't misconstrue what you're saying. So that's the benefit over writing an email. The benefit I find over face-to-face feedback, when you're giving face-to-face feedback, it's almost a confrontation, right? And so if you as the observer are maybe talking about an area for improvement, and it's almost like an argument, or it can be if it gets out of hand. Whereas by giving video messages, you can, first of all, you as the observer, you can try to record it a couple times. Mm. And you can make sure that you're saying it in a way that the teacher can accept it. As the observer, you can say, like, before you respond, can you look up this article? Here's a link to an article that you can read. And then I want you to compare that to sort of what we're talking about in your lesson. And also the teacher has the chance to watch this video with your body language and all the benefits of video, right? And they can sit back and think about that message for a while. They don't have to respond immediately like they would in a face-to-face conversation. And then once they've come up with what they want to say back to you, they can send a video message back to you. And you find that the level of conversation is actually much higher. And that way it's not such a hot debate. It's a little bit colder, and you can take more time, and you can actually prepare people to come up with a better response to what it is that you're saying.
thanks for joining us.
A pleasure as always.
All right. We'll see you again next time, everyone. Goodbye.
See ya.